All right. So last week, our text was out of Hebrews 12:2, and it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And that was my point, right? The point was the joy that was set before him, he saw something. He saw something, and I believe it was us. Right? It was us. It was relationship again with us. It was bringing things back to the way it was supposed to be. And I want to kind of keep down this path this week as well, just examining the motivation of Christ and the cross, right? We have Easter coming up. But this isn't just, this doesn't have to be a once a year thing, right? Thinking about Jesus, thinking about what he did. I think this, you know, if you need it to be it, let it be a daily thing. Let it encourage you what Christ did for us through the cross, through his death, through his resurrection, right? That's the reason we are who we are today. It's the reason why I'm not lost. It's probably the reason I'm still here. Thank God, right? And it's the reason, and it's the gospel that we have that we can give. He freely gave. We can do the same thing. And I believe it's worth it. I'm sure if I talked to each one of you individually and asked you about your walk with Christ and asked you, why are you still doing this? Why are you still walking this out? Because it's worth it. Because only Christ truly changes things, right? The world can put band-aids on, but things can never truly be healed. Hearts can never truly be mended. Minds can never truly be changed unless it's through the power of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you say. Our knowledge only takes us so far. But when we tap into the Spirit of God, we get the depths of God. And not one of us can comprehend the depths of God. That's where change comes. That's where truth comes. And I believe each and every one of us here have some sort of revelation about that, or I don't think you would be here. Right? If God wasn't working in your life, why would you sit here and listen to me? Maybe I'm wrong. But I know who I was. I didn't want to hear it. Because it wasn't working. It's not that he wasn't working. He was always trying. The Holy Spirit was always knocking. I just had shut the door. But praise God. So we're examining his character, right? We need to know, and I say it every week, but I'm going to continue to say it every week. We need to know who our God is. We must know that our God loves us. We must know what our God did for us, because what he did for us transformed us, changed us, took us out of the old into the new, right? We're now new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. And it's because of him. And if we don't know who he is and what he truly has done for us and wants to continue to do for us, right? It doesn't end. We don't get saved and just his love for us ends and you're on your own and good luck and we'll see you in the great by and by. Like, that's not how this works. He sees goodness in you. He sees that path that he set before you and he rejoices. Yep, they're getting it. Because he knows in him, we are going to experience our best life. Oh, best life. Isn't that some weird TikTok thing, best life? And all these people are on their beautiful beaches and everybody's smiling and everybody's happy. Just always curious about what happens when the camera's turned off. I mean, I can look really happy for 30 seconds. I think any one of us can, right? But it's not 30 seconds. Life is not little clips. Life is eternal. This doesn't end. It changes, but it doesn't end, right? We have something that changed us, and we have something we can give. So getting to know our God, and knowing our God in the biblical sense, not out of my ideas, not out of bad doctrine that I've heard, but in the biblical sense of truly knowing him, having a relationship with him, being connected. That's the biblical sense. Not just, oh, I think he's this way. You're heading down a rough road. You're heading down a rough road if you think he's that way and you don't know he's that way. Because if I think he's just constantly judging me, how am I going to live my life? Amen. Oppressed, depressed, stressed. I serve a God that I could never live up to. Wrong. It's wrong. That is not what the word portrays. Well, maybe he loves me and maybe he doesn't. Nope. He loves each and every one of us, and I don't care what state you're in. I don't care if you know him or not. I don't care if you've ever declared Jesus Christ as Lord. He loves you. He loves each and every person alive today. He's loved each and every person that's ever lived. But it's our choice. It was a gift, right? Gift, the gift of grace, the gift of mercy, the gift of love. Gifts don't have to be received. You can come to me, offer me something amazing that will affect my life, but guess what? I don't like you, so I don't want your gift. It could be really helpful. It could really bring me out of problems. It could solve my problems, but I don't want it. I don't have to receive your gift. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. We can reject his gifts. He wants us to receive them. He wants us to walk in them. But we can certainly reject them. He doesn't force anything on anybody. Because of will and free choice. But thank God we made a choice. And thank God there's others out there who are going to make a choice. And thank God we can continue to grow in him and not just sit idle, not just get beat up, not just get beat down. I can continue to grow in Christ. We can continue to grow in relationship and move forward. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be stuck by the past. We don't have to be stuck by the circumstances we're walking in right now. We can go to Christ. Because we'll see here, that's what Jesus did, right? All throughout his ministry, he was in communion with God. The good, the bad, the ugly. He was in communion with Christ. And that's something we can take away from. Maybe we should be in communion with Christ. Communion with God, seeking the Spirit, because it's that Spirit that moves us out. So last week, you know, we talked about the joy that was set before him, right? He went to the cross because of the joy that was set before him. And what prompted me to speak on that was Luke 22, if you want to turn there, you can. Luke 22, we'll start in verse 39. So Jesus, at this point, Jesus and the disciples have celebrated Passover. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. A few other things have happened here. By all means, go back and read this stuff for full context. But that's the gist of it. So Christ is about to be betrayed, taken away, and be crucified. But verse 39, and he came out and went, as was his custom. I like that. We see that often with Christ. He pulled away a little bit. He got away from the noise. He got away from the crowd. And he sought God. He prayed. He sought relationship. He does it throughout his whole ministry. And he went, came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mountain of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." So we see Jesus here. He's with his disciples. He knows what's coming, right? He's about to be betrayed. He's about to be led away. He knows what's coming, and he's seeking the Lord. "If this cup can pass from me," and I don't believe it was the pain of what was coming. Pain is temporary, right? Death is everlasting. Death is eternal. And what is death? Death is separation from God. That's what true death is. No longer will there be a prompting, right? For those who don't believe, no longer will the Holy Spirit be prompting, "You need him. You need him. You need him." That's where the separation comes in. And just like we read last week in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Right? And what else did he say? He said, "Nothing that was made without him." The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all, is about to take on the sin of the world. Never knew sin. And he prayed it so earnestly that he was sweating drops of blood. Like this was obviously weighing on him. But what did he say? "Not my will, but yours be done." Because what could he encourage himself in that moment with? Because it said an angel came and ministered to him, right? So he's getting ministry through this time. He's getting encouragement through this time. Don't lose hope. Don't stop for the joy that's set before you. I don't know. But I wonder if just those of us were flashing through his head. Relationship, right? Seeing his people succeed again. Seeing that new covenant that he was going to bring. But there was going to be separation. He did die. And he did die with sin. Not just some sin, but everything that encapsulates sin was poured upon him in that moment. Everything that represented sin was laid upon him for us. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. It should encourage us. It should give us a sense of who our God truly is. It should give us a sense of the love that he truly has for us. To endure what the God who always was and who will always be, who created all things, was willing to die, was willing to take on sin and separate himself from life, from light, so that he could give us light and life. It's beautiful. So that agony, I believe, was over sin. Because it said he was unrecognizable as a man as he hung on that cross. And I don't believe he was beaten, right? He was whipped with the cat of nine tails. But I believe there was more to it. Sin disfigures. Mentally, physically, right? Because what is encapsulated in sin? Curses, right? You want to know, you know, go to Deuteronomy 28 and read about the curses, right? He took all of that away, but he took it all on. I guarantee it wasn't just the whipping and the beating. He took on the whole, all of sin, and it disfigured him. He was unrecognizable because of it. I got a few verses here. You don't have to turn there if you want to. We'll just go through them quickly. But 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It had to be this way. Atonement would come in no other way. Authority was given to man on the earth, and a man had to claim it back, but only one man could do that, and that was Jesus Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb. He who knew no sin. He who knew no sin was made sin. He wasn't sprinkled with sin. He was made sin. Because what did he do? Eventually he defeats it, right? Eventually he defeats it. But it all had to be carried. He took it all. So there's nothing that we walk through, nothing that we're going through, nothing that we may go through that hasn't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's go a little further. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 13 through 14. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. Jesus paid for it all. There's nothing we have to live in shame about. There's nothing that we have to live in guilt about. We can give it to God, repent, change direction, and let him move in our life. You don't have to sit in the sins of your past. You don't have to sit in what you're dealing with right now. I don't know what it is. Bring it to God. And if you need help, bring it to somebody that can help. We don't have to live that way. Because Christ bore it all of it. Having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. The law. No one could live up to the law but Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the law. Because in fulfilling the law, we could get back to relationship again. We could get back to what this walk was truly meant to be. Thank God. By canceling, verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He paid for it. Whatever is going through your mind right now, he paid for it. It no longer has to hold you back. And maybe someone you know is running through your mind right now, he paid for it. He paid for it. He paid for it. Receive that right now. In your heart, he paid for it. You don't have to walk in shame. Because he paid for it. That's the love of our God. And it's for anyone who will believe. It's for anyone who will declare. Right? It's for anyone. His desire is for all. Now are all going to choose him? No, the Bible says some just love the darkness. It's tragic. It's tragic. But what are we called to do? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Set the captives free. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Right? Because we're no longer, because our debt's paid, because of redemption, because of grace and love and mercy, and because of the Holy Spirit, we can walk this life out in a much different way. We don't have to walk this life out defeated. We have the power of the living God residing in us. What more do you need? I'll just tell you, nothing. We don't need anything else. Now, are there times where we miss it, where I miss it? Absolutely. But it was paid for. It was paid for. It was nailed on the cross. Your debt's been paid. He knew what we were going to do. He knew the life I was going to live, yet he still did it. He knew I was going to reject him, yet he still did it. He knows there's others who will totally reject him, but he still did it. Let it encourage you. Let it build you up. This is our God. This is our God. This is our God who loves us, who can change the situation, who can change the circumstances, who can change the outlook, who can change your mind, who can change your heart, who can heal your body. This is the God we serve. Amen? Yeah. Should get you fired up. Should get you fired up, because when we leave this building, what's out there? Those who need Christ. Those who need to be redeemed and set free. But they need to know the debt's been paid. We're not out there to judge. I don't care what lifestyle you're living, lived, the lifestyle you know somebody's living. Christ paid the debt. That's why we need to see people in God's eyes. There's some weird stuff going on in the world today. Weird stuff. But what's God's desire? For them to come to the kingdom. Right? I don't care how weird it is. God wants them for the kingdom. Got the little ones in, so I'll avoid some of that. But it doesn't matter what your feelings are towards that person. It matters how God sees them. Because my feelings towards people are going to turn people off, are going to turn people away, are going to harden people's hearts. But when God's working through me and in me, and when his love is working in me, and I see that person, man, you just need Jesus. You just need Jesus. All the weird stuff just needs Jesus. But how can we be effective if we've already shut them out? If we've already turned them off? And this is, you know, it's the challenge. It's always the challenge, and we can rise to the challenge. Don't be condemned over this. A little conviction every now and then is okay. But don't be condemned over this. Don't, I'm such a failure. No, you're not. It's been paid for. You have the Spirit of the living God. What's he telling us to do? What's he telling you to do? What's he telling me to do, right? It's because of the love of God that he did what he did, that he endured the cross. It was for the joy that was set before him. And it's amazing. If you truly meditate on that, if you truly spend some time reading about it, meditating on it, I don't care what you think you know, more will be revealed. And I guarantee it's going to be the love of God that's revealed. Because it's only through the love of God that we see these things. It's only through understanding that he loved me so much that he paid for my debt. Now I can live free. The world has nothing to offer. There is no freedom in the world. There is no, yes, they talk about freedom and coexist and all this other fun stuff. But I'm sorry. True freedom comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But he paid the debt. He paid the debt. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. When he took on the sins of the world, he took on everything. Anything that included lack. Poverty is much more than just a financial thing. Poverty can be physical, mental, spiritual, right? I don't care how much money you have. If you're deficient spiritually, you're in poverty. Because what did we say earlier? You ain't bringing that money in with you. That money ain't getting you into the door. Right? But he became poor so we could be rich. Rich in spirit. Rich in our mind. Rich in health. Rich in anything we put our hands to. And I don't want to, rich is not always large sums of money. It can be, obviously. But rich is just being in relationship with God and letting God work through us, right? God's changed my heart. God's changed my mind. And thank God he's also changed my financial situation. Praise God. Praise God. But he became poor so that we could be rich. Just another thing we can encourage ourselves with. All right, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to lay out here. It's like Christ just loves us so much. Like it just doesn't matter. He paid the debt. And whenever the enemy tries to attack, no, he paid the debt. That debt's been paid. That debt's been paid. And maybe we're still walking in some temptation towards something. Lord, you paid that debt. Help me. Right? I repent. I'm going to change. I'm going to turn towards you. You lead me. You direct me out of this temptation. Because you paid that debt. I don't have to live like that any longer. I don't have to live like I'm worthless. I don't have to live like my life was meaningless. I lived that way. I don't have to live seeing myself as just a failure. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to live that way. I can see myself in Christ. And I can say, you know what? You paid for it all. Give me the revelation. Help me see. Help me see spiritually who you are. Because the spirit changes the body. The spirit changes the mind, right? But it can also go the other way. If I'm just feeding my body, if I'm just feeding my flesh, what gets pushed out of the way? The Spirit of God, right? So it goes both ways. But I say we go towards the way that changes lives. I say we go towards the way that searches the depths of God. I say we go towards the way that can mend hearts, can mend minds, can heal bodies, can bring true revelation of love, so we no longer have to walk in this world confused. Right? We don't have to walk in this world confused. We can know our God. He wants us to know. That's the thing. He wants us to know him. It's not like it's just this, well, keep trying. You'll get there someday. No, he's with us every step of the way. And he's revealing himself in different ways constantly. Constantly. That's the God we serve. He wants you to succeed. He wants people in the world to come to him and succeed, to live true life. Life that isn't separated. Right? Death. We don't have to walk in death. The world doesn't have to walk in death. And I don't care how crazy they think we are. I don't care what their view, what their opinion of us is. The truth is Jesus Christ. And we stand on the truth no matter what. No matter what. Because it's that important. It's that important that we don't waver from the truth of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did. Because it's only because of him. It's only because of him. His journey to the cross was for us. All those who came before and all those who are still to come. That's why he did it. So I would just pray that you just encourage yourself with that this week. Encourage yourself with the love of God, that he loved us so much that he paid the debt. He paid it. There's nothing more I have to do. Just receive, receive, receive the free gifts that are available. Let those build you up. Let those change the perception that you may have had of God. Let the truth of the word change how you see our Father. Change how you see the Holy Spirit. And let him work. Just let him work. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you that you are that good. And even in those times that we fall, you are still that good. You paid the debt for each and every one of us. You desire relationship with each and every one of us. You desire to pour your goodness into each and every one of us. And I just pray for open hearts to receive this word today, Lord. But also encouragement that this can be shared. This can be shared, and it will be shared in Jesus' name. Because you're that good. We just give you the rest of this time together. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.